were born in Ukraine, you lived in Moldova, you studied in Chisinau and Moscow. Yes. Now you live and work in Norway. Is this trip, in brackets, reflected in any way in your compositions and the way you're doing music and how?
Yes, I guess so. It's very natural for artists, at least from my own experience, I can say about myself, that I was always inspired by the places where I lived and always inspired by the culture around me. But very often it's unconscious. It's about not decision, but about sensitivity of artists. So by myself, I can say that I was quite sensitive. And in any places where I lived, I become to be big fan of the local culture. So, and naturally, it was real direct influences to my own music.
It seems that these days there are no boundaries between jazz, classical music, modern music, folklore and so on. Some people call it postmodernism, others say it's simply globalization. It is good or it is bad?
I think it's very good. All these borders between genres quite artificial, I think. And unfortunately, evolution is dependent from the openness of the mind. And evolution is most natural process of our being. And in arts, boundaries always means limitations. So, and not only in arts, in any kind of social life, boundaries makes you closed, not open. So that means openness is one of the main tools to be able to grow as a human being. So that's why I think it's very important that we are open to any kind of music or arts or whatever, and trying to be inspired, and trying to inspire each other, and doesn't matter in which area we are functioning.
Choose this openness as probably the main tool for your trio Moscow Art. Can you tell me something about this trio? It's very interesting there. It's something like it's jazz, but it's not jazz. It's something else.
One of the main reasons for Moscow Trio as a concept was exactly what we are talking about. Three different culture meets together and living in the peace. So folk musician and classical harmonist and improviser, so functioning together as a one family. And that was the main reason of the aesthetical concept Moscow Trio when we started. But one thing, you know, to declare this, everybody can theoretically talk about openness and so on and on. Another thing is to realize and to practice openness. The same thing like in life, the same thing in music. Lots of musicians and artists will tell you about openness several hours without any problem, because to talk is always easy. Thank you. but to practice and to be open and to be able to not accept any borders. First of all, you have to know lots of things. You have to be updated and you have to be very disciplined, and you need experience in the different genres as well.
And in knowing the other guys.
Exactly, and you have to appreciate others, and differences are much more important in that case than similarities. But human being is not so simple. Human being is looking for similarities, not differences. So that's why secta is a natural phenomenon in our life. So people want networks and they own friends around them because they know how they are functioning and so on and on.
And because they are afraid of the unknown, actually.
Absolutely. But creativity is about unknown. Creativity in general, it's a darkness. But darkness in the positive way. But you need time to be used to go to the dark forest until you will feel comfortable. Then from the beginning it's quite scary. The Moscow Trio, for example, it was very scary first years for all of us. Very scary because no references. You have to stay in a kind of unknown zone and unknown territorium and so on. On the top of this story, afterwards nobody knows how to sell you. So the one thing, you're walking in the unknown territoriums and have a lot of questions with yourself, but on the top of this trouble, so promoter doesn't know how to sell you because you're not jazz and not rock and not pop and not classic. You see what I mean? So creativity is great, but it's challenging.
To say hello to you from a very good friend of mine, it's a former teacher of mine, Virgil Mihaiu.
Oh.
And he said that you met before, and he told me once that you actually discovered one of the best jazz bands in Moldova called Trigon. Now, Trigon, they say about themselves that they are an ethno jazz band. Why do you think they want to add this particle, ethno? In the end, jazz is jazz regardless of its roots, influences, or different form of music it incorporates. And they are organizing an ethno jazz festival in Chisinau. Why ethno?
Well, of course you're right that jazz originally born from the lot of different ethno influences. So you're right, absolutely. That sounds a little bit strange when we say ethno. But I know reason why people saying I'm playing ethno music, because a lot of people think that jazz is something American.
Which is not true in the end.
Which is not true. But this cliché influence even musicians that they would like to say we are not playing American music. So we are proud Romanians or proud Chinese or whatever, proud Moldavians. So this is a kind of statement that we would like to find our own voice through the local ethno culture.
Tell you something about my experience with jazz from the USSR. The year was 1977. The city was Cluj, Transylvania, Romania. The band was Trio Ganelin. And listening to their music at the time was a sort of a cultural shock for me. Among others, because it unveiled
What I thought it was a sort of a paradox. If jazz is supposed to be, by definition, a free form of art, how was it possible that those three guys, Vyacheslav Ganelin, Vladimir Cherkasin and Vladimir Tarasov, were allowed to play this kind of music in USSR, a country described as unfree? I found later that this was a prejudice, but still, do you have an explanation for this?
I think it's not a paradox. It's actually natural process. When you lived in a country with so much political pressure, like Soviet Union, in the totalitarian regime, the only thing what usually creative people are dreaming, it's about protest in different kinds of form. And they not somebody is protesting without saying anything, but people who are dealing with art forms, very often it's all over the world, there would be the same thing, and it doesn't matter if we are talking about Soviet period or not, it's thousands of the years will be the same. So you're creating your own zone where you can express your own protest. That was happened with Trio Ganelin. Yeah, I remember it was exactly, I have exactly the same feeling, because actually, to tell you the truth, that one of the reasons I started Moscow Trio was inspiration from Trio Ganelin. When I heard them in 82, first time in Moscow, it was also shock, and I felt, wow. These guys are real, feel so free. And I would like to do my own experiments, but I'm from Balkan region and I'm a South person. So I am not from Baltic Republic, so I would like to do my own things, in one day I will do it. And actually they say all over, critics say that we are Moscow Trio and Trio Ganelin, the only two trios in the ex-Soviet Union, kind of dealing with experiments and so on. I don't know if it's only two trios or not, it's not important. Most important is to learn one thing. Protest is a temporary thing. And inspiration, what they got from the totalitarian regime, very soon disappeared, because regime has disappeared. And then no Trio Ganelin, and then no reason to protest, and then no interest to any avant-garde today. So you have to be always aware that avant-garde as an art form is similar to the word temporary. Everything what has to do with time is temporary.
Yes, because then it becomes classic.
Right. Today, avant-garde is museum, old museum. And this is not a paradox. You said it's a paradox. Everything what comes from the influence by time is temporary. That's why I don't like, and I'm not interested about time. But folk culture can influence me forever, because folk culture has nothing to do with time, because folk culture never was born, and that's why we'll never die.
Thank you. last night in the church, you played what you said were fragments from a bigger piece or a bigger series called Stories for the Piano. Is there any connection between jazz and poetry? And I have to tell you that I put this question to Günter Hampel, who is the German vibraphonist who once played with Frank Zappa, and to John McLaughlin. Hampel said something like, yes, of course there is a connection between jazz and poetry, because poetry and jazz are similar to filling up an empty room. John McLaughlin said, I quote now, this was an interview for Radio Free Europe actually, when poetry exists, I myself exist, and you, my friend, and we're all in the same boat, end of quote. How would you describe this relationship between poetry and jazz?
It's a very beautiful explanation. His explanation is beautiful, and it's also very correct. Say, my father was a writer. Poetry is most natural things in my life, and it was never question about poetry in my life. It was just natural for me. I was always a part of it, but I never was thinking about it. But to tell stories, as I found out later, for me it's most natural thing. But often stories doesn't mean for me something related to the text and concrete words. So dramaturgically, I think about sound stories. That means about the stories often without any meaning, but with the same impact of dramaturgical beauty and development. So for me, poetry is most important thing, one thing, and I feel my music is poetical stories, but by sounds, made by sounds. And as I said, my mother was, for example, a musician, actually from Bessarabia, so I get from her some inspiration, and father was a writer, so I guess it's a very simple explanation why my music full of stories and sounds.